There's just been announced that there is a new CEO for Waikato District Council. So this is the guy, he's a man, who is...
Craig Hobbs. He's actually...
The chief of the staff, not the chief of the councillors. He's not your boss.
Yeah, he's a CEO is the chief executive officer. So as council, and this might be quite confusing for a lot of people, but the councillors are in the governance role. So we steer the direction of council, rate strikes, decisions on infrastructure, all of those things. And then it's up to the CE then to oversee the operational part of council, which is massive, as you know.
And you don't tell them how to do that? You don't tell them how to structure the management structure, all that sort of stuff?
No, we can influence that through the key performance indicators, you know, what we ask our chief executive to actually achieve. And so that chief executive has to meet those KPIs that we set as governance. But the CEO is the only employee of that the councillors have.
Oh.
And then it's up to the CE to determine what the operations look like. So
you employ him and he employs everybody else.
That's exactly right.
Okay, all right. Even like the mayor's assistant?
Yep.
He's on staff.
I mean, okay. The chief executive doesn't interview all 400 and plus staff because we have, HR that does that and enacts that. But the CE, just like any company, or even if you will liken it to the Board of Trustees, has the principal who enacts the operations.
Yeah, I know you're familiar with that, having been on the school board. So in terms of the KPIs, and is there a mandate? Has he been given a mandate to make any changes with the council? I mean, he's going to be a new personality, and he will probably change things anyway. But what as councillors, like, what is the council expecting of him?
A lot, actually, you know, because it is different. And I just want to acknowledge Gavin Iron, who's been our chief executive. For 20 plus years, and so it's been a significant amount of time. And in that time, council has changed quite significantly, as even in the last three terms that I've been in, Māori wards, the rates have gone up, the waters, three waters, review and transformation, all of those sorts of things. So a lot has happened in those two decades. So I just really want to acknowledge the work of Gavin. And so, you know, the expectations of councillors is they want someone who can help with transform the business and how we do things, how we work with our communities, how we have outcomes. So then the communities can see the rationale between our decision-making and then what happens out in our community, so they have an understanding of that, working really closely with our staff, seeing where change needs to happen and where staff need to be supported. So it's a really big job, and we will be working out the details of what he needs to achieve as part of that work program. So we've only just appointed him, so we don't necessarily have all of those KPIs in place.
Oh, okay, right.
and so that's a piece of work that we will be working on with him. And, you know, and he'll be instrumental in guiding council through growth and development, because you know that being in the Waikato District, we have huge pressures with growth and infrastructure. So that will be a really big task for him to undertake, and he'll be working with we're lucky enough that Gavin will be overseeing our waters work, so he'll be stepping right away from any part of being on the executive, but he'll still be there as we change our waters, you know, with the relationship with Hamilton City Council.
Okay, because you're right in the middle of
expertise, so he will be there with oversight on that. So it's an exciting time, but of course Craig doesn't start until February.
What's his name? Craig?
Craig Hobbs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know the councillors and mayor are always the ones in the limelight, but the chief executives of most councils does kind of get well known.
Well, the chief executives really are there to enact the direction of council, and you know, they have to be a certain type of person because they have to be really maintain an unbiased vision. So they don't come in as for any political party or perspective. They actually have to be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, unbiased is what you say, like
non-partisan. Yeah, and so they...
So if at the next election there was a huge clean out of councillors and completely changed and,
Chief executive has to work with all of those councillors and a mayor.
But then a change of direction, a complete change of direction, he would just have to go, yep, I was doing that.
We can advise,
and now I have to do this. Yeah, and I don't have a choice.
And well, and that's exactly right. And he, you know, he or she has to advise and give as much information to governance to make informed decisions. So that's their role as well, and they're the interface between the governance and the operations. So it's a massive job.
So we say now, here's an interesting thing, because I get that he'll be professional and be as unbiased as possible, but also we're dealing with humans, and he has to be, at the very least, he has to be able to relate well with the councillors and the mayor, and some of that is just like the ability to get along with those people.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
And you have to have a little bit of alignment, otherwise it's just, it's not going to work.
You have to be a certain type of person to be able to work in that environment like
that.
So
I know you were on the panel that was doing the interviews. Who else was on there?
Myself, Eugene Patterson, Janet Gibb, Jackie Church, our mayor, and Carolyn Eyre, the deputy mayor, because we, all five of us, are the incumbents. So we felt that that would be best to sit with the appointment of the chief executive. But we also worked, you know, councillors inputted into what they felt was important skills to have in a chief executive. So we worked with a well-known recruitment agency, Sheffield, who are very experienced in local government recruitment and chief executive recruitment. So they were great. So we worked with them very closely to help with this process. And they also ran the whole recruitment process in terms of putting out the advertising for the role, the criteria, and then they did the recruitment, so to speak. And, you know, we had over 50 applicants for the role, which is quite massive. I think there were 57 applications for the role. And out of those, then it's shortlisted to a number of who they felt met the criteria. Then we, as a subcommittee of council for the recruitment, then went through those with a fine-tooth comb.
Can I ask, or can you say, if there were any internal applications from existing staff?
I can't say that.
You can't say that?
Yeah, okay. I can't say that.
I just thought I'd try.
Yeah, that's unprofessional to actually, you know, divulge that. But there were very high-calibre applicants, particularly when we shortlisted to the last five with whom we interviewed, and they were all fantastic and had skills and experience from across, across the board. So, yeah. And
can you be specific about some of the qualities or the things that the councillors were looking for?
Well, preferably that they had an understanding of local government, that they had transformed organisations and have done that well, that they had business acumen and they came with a solid operational background, and also a commercial background was very helpful as well. And then looking at things, how well they led, what was their leadership style, how they worked with others.
What did he say his leadership style was?
Inclusive. Transformational.
So the word transformational is coming up. So I presume,
well,
the council is expecting some change.
Some change. That's right. And being able to take others with you across an organisation. He also bought a high level of depth in the regulatory space with what he's done with Auckland Council.
So he's working in a position at Auckland City.
That's right. That's right. And in a big and a big team in there. So he comes with a real depth of experience, and then he has a very varied background working in Auckland Council, and he was the CEO of South Waikato Council as well, which is a smaller council, but he's also worked Maritime Museum, and then he has also worked in the disability space as well. So he comes across with a very broad cross-section of skills, but he can demonstrate those skills very clearly. And we're all really excited, actually, for the new year to come along and to be working with him and supporting him in that role.
So when does he start?
In February, okay. The beginning of February. I think it's the 6th of February, the 2nd or the 6th of February.
Okay.
Oh, I better check.
Well, that's all right.
But it is the beginning of February.
We've got Christmas shopping to do in the next week or so. We're not too worried about when the CEO actually starts.
Yeah, so in February.
yeah. No, that's cool. That's, yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I was going to ask about that, but I think that is probably it.
And he's very hands-on. I think people were really warm to him. He's got, he's really... he's a really warm person.
Do you have to be, as a council CEO these days, do you have to be like a little bit presidential? I know you're not the politician, but at the same token, you're front.
Well, it depends on the style of the CE, because you have to work really closely with your mayor and the elected members.
You don't want to overshadow the mayor.
No, and you know, and it's a role. You know, he's going to want to go out into our communities, and he's already said that, to meet with the community boards, with the community committees. He wants to come out to each community and understand the way, you know, each community as best that he can, because each of our communities are quite different. He has spent quite a lot of time in the Waikato, because him and his wife in a previous life were based in Hamilton, and so he also comes from a radio background, which you'll be finding very interesting as well. So you should interview him when he's found his feet, actually, Aaron. So he comes from,
I'm always scared to interview people who've been professionally involved in radio, because I don't consider myself very professional. I've had no training. I just came in and started operating things one day, and here I am.
Yeah, so he's actually the executive leadership team and director of regulatory services at Auckland Council.
Regulatory, no one knows what those phrases mean. That's the rules. He's in charge of the rules.
But, you know, being in that area, that's actually, you understand council and what council does, and being in Auckland, you know, working with such a huge super city and with many boards and other committees, you have to have a certain set of skills to be able to manage that.
He probably had more people in his team in Auckland City than he'll have in the entire council in terms of staff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, let's move on to, you mentioned Gavin Ion, the current CEO, the chief executive, is going to continue in the role of shepherding all these changes happening within the Three Waters.
That's exactly right. And he'll step right out of the executive role, and but he'll be there as a support to the new chief executive as well, which I think is really great.
But that, where I was going with that is that that's such an intense thing happening so fast at the moment. It makes a lot of sense to keep him on board for that. So where is that at? We've had some announcements from Hamilton.
We've had some announcements. So we've made the decision to have a waters entity with Hamilton City Council at this point in time. So we made that decision last Friday.
So that's to set up a kind of a separate organisation that's owned by the councils but runs itself.
Yeah, that's exactly, pretty much, if you were to liken it to what we've got already with Water Care.
Yeah.
So Water Governance Board, so to speak. So, you know, so we can oversee our Three Waters provisions for both Hamilton and the Waikato District. And you've got to remember that Hamilton, we have a lot of relationships already with Hamilton, because we sort of surround a lot of the city as well. So those shared services, the opportunities to look at, you know, wastewater treatment plants, you know, with Ngairua Wahia, for example, hooking in maybe to Hamilton. So there's, you know, we've got Matangi, we've got Tamihere on the borders, we've got Te Kōwhai. So there's all of those relationships that we already have with Hamilton City. And, you know, we talked about this last Friday, is that we think it's inevitable that there will be a regional water Z entity in the not too distant future, but we need to make a decision that fits best with us at this point in time.
Is it the case that the other councils like Matamata Piako and
well, they're still working out what they need to do, and because they're further
behind in the process,
you would say.
Okay,
and there will be opportunities for other councils in the future to come on board. So I think that, yeah, like I said, it's going to be inevitable that we'll have, well, it's probably inevitable that we will have a regional waters entity. We just need to get to that point.
I saw somewhere that saying there was about nine councils in the region.
Yeah.
So okay.
So it's not small, and you imagine when you're working with a lot of different councils, there's a lot to work through.
So most people who've come up close to the whole water care thing thought that it's been an effective arrangement.
Even
John
Lawson.
But what I'm wondering is, suddenly in this country, we're going to need a whole bunch of water cares all at once. One of the things about water care was I had this real experts, like people who really knew what they're doing.
Well, it's a centre of excellence, when you're thinking about it
But where are we going to find a whole bunch of more experts?
I'm sure we'll find them, and I'm sure we'll be able to establish that entity. And
you want to be the first one, don't you? So you can get the best start.
Well, I think we were the first one when we think about our relationship with water care outside of Auckland.
But now Hamilton and Waikato councils are creating a new one, and they're going to have to get a new chief executive of that organisation and get their staff together. And that's, I know you're a fair way off that.
We're a fair way off that, and I can't comment on what that might look like. You know,
no, it's. So you've decided to
we've decided on this, and it will actually come out for consultation to communities in the early new year.
And will there be? So that's not the options. It's not the long term plan.
No.
Okay, it's a separate thing.
Yeah, this will be separate, and so there will be a lot going on. So we'll keep you. You know, we'll be updating the community on that, because actually we want our communities to understand as much as we do around our three waters provision and the direction we're going. So there's an understanding of that. And I know there's a lot to process, particularly when we're going through our long-term plan as well, which will be coming out in March. So there's a lot of work to be done. And, you know, do our communities actually really care about that detail? I'm not sure, but
they
will be sharing that, the cost of it. And
I have questions, actually, and I was reading the Hamilton City thing, and I didn't get all the way through the Waikato District document, but in the Hamilton City thing there was a section on well-being. It had to refer to well-being, and it talked about how that water quality is a health issue and things like that. There was no discussion in there about well-being in terms of loading people up with extra rate costs.
That well-being comes through affordability, and that's why we're consciously making these decisions, because if we went alone, we wouldn't have the economies of scale, and the rates will go up. And the rates will go up regardless of what we do, because there's a cost to this work. The three waters is hugely expensive, and we know that, and that's why we had the three waters reform.
For listeners' understanding, for 40 years councils have not really, there's been this obsession with keeping rates down, and lots of people got on council saying, I'm going to keep the rates down, and we haven't spent, this is my version of it, and we haven't spent the money updating and maintaining our three water system. Now we have to do it all at once.
Well, we're not doing it all at once. It will be over time.
But now we have to do it.
Yeah, now we have to do it. And because that's our role in local government, is to provide these services. And those services come at a cost. And services never stay the same price. It always goes up. So we've got huge infrastructure, and that needs to be serviced. whether it's underground infrastructure or infrastructure we can see, like our water reservoirs. So there's not only what we need to plan for the future, but there's the ongoing maintenance of all of that infrastructure as well.
I hear a lot of talk about efficiencies, and I can see that happening at the administration level, and probably is better at getting a good interest rate for loans with a combined councils. But you can't bring efficiencies to, like, we're building our wastewater plant here, a new one in Raglan, and you can't make that more efficient by joining with another council, because you just have to build a building with technical stuff in it.
But going into the relationship with another council, it also increases our ability to get loans. So then to actually be able to get more in terms of that loaning, so our debt capacity goes up.
So that allows
for that. So then we can actually spread those costs out over time, rather than burdening it all at once for our ratepayers. And so I'm not going to lie, our rates will go up. Yeah. And that's the inevitability about this.
Well, we know
that.
And
then how much they go up, we know we have to manage those costs of affordability, and it's really hard.
So will we know those costs in the new year when it comes out to consultation, or will we have to wait till the long-term plan later in the year?
I'll need to get back to you. I don't want to say yes, we'll have all the costs in that.
Yeah.
But that will... What this decision that we've made will have an impact on our long-term plan and the costs associated with that. So,
because no one's really talking too much. No one wants to talk about the costs, I know, but we've just come out of a conversation of how the long-term plan was going to be expensive anyway.
Yeah, and that's why we went into our enhanced annual plan, because there was the uncertainty of the implications and the cost implications to the ratepayers on a decision that we'll make about our next steps with our three waters provision.
Yeah, so that the enhanced annual plan, folks, that's just a one-year plan.
That was just a one-year plan for
2024-25
to get us through to this stage where now we've made that decision to go into a relationship with Hamilton City Council. Now, that this next piece of work will be the piece of work that then determines those costs for our LTP with our long-term plan, which will be coming out in March. So we'll have a much better idea of those costs and how we consult on that with our communities.
All right, let's talk about some other things. Erosion, this one, I'll talk about erosion at Papahua, so on this side, not the...
By the boat ramp, between the bridge and the boat ramp.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, as you know,
that we've been talking about this, so we had a Raglan Holiday Park Papahua Governance Board meeting last week, and we have asked that we get our engineers who have been working on the stormwater upgrade at the holiday park, and also they're the same engineers and staff who've been working on the Pūtoitoi walkway upgrade that's between the jetty and the old Coast Guard building, footpath there. So we've asked them to do, at the bare minimum, a desktop exercise on looking at options for erosion in that area to include whatever it may need on the bridge. So then we can make some decisions around our next steps around that. Because, you know, I've said this before, as the governance board for the camp, we're really concerned about the erosion in that area for a number of reasons. We've got hapu representatives that sit on the board, and the erosion is getting closer and closer to the Urupa, the cemetery that sits by the boat ramp. And of course, for the longevity of the camp and the planning for climate mitigation and coastal erosion, because the camp is such an asset, and so too is the playground, that entire area. So how we might be able to undertake some work that helps to slow that down.
I'm expecting that work would be, having talked with Shaw Mead and people like that, to put a groin in under the bridge. Yeah. I know there's people talking about walls, but walls, the experts say they don't do what you want.
There might be something that we can put along the grass edging, all of that. But yeah, we've actually asked for staff to do that piece of work, so we've got a clear idea of what that might require, and then be able to put some cost to that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm glad to hear this.
Yeah,
this
because we've been talking about this for so long, haven't
I know,
we, Aaron?
I know.
And
yeah.
So many things happen, and then of course we've made a decision in council about retreat as opposed to putting in hard and fast mechanisms. But it's a little bit softer there. It's not as
well. This isn't a climate change issue. This is because we removed the old bridge and it's changed things.
So we need to do so. So yeah. So that we've got a piece of work under that will be underway in the new year.
Yeah. The next thing I was you mentioned Pūtoitoi walkway. So we've just want to remind people that I think it got called the Wenera walkway because the staff needed to write a name on something.
Yeah,
for a press
and
release.
It was by Wenera Street and things like that. And
because I'd never heard that before that project started.
Yeah, exactly. So so it was determined by Hapū that the name would be Pūtoitoi, which was more appropriate because that area, its original name is Pūtoitoi. And if you look at some of the maps, and not so older maps, that the area where the jetty is called Pūtoitoi Point. So it seems quite appropriate to have the Pūtoitoi walkway. So restoring some of those old names back onto the landscape in their right places is pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, so some people are still struggling to remember Papahua.
They call it the Raglan Domain or
That's the easy way out in case you're worried. But Pūtoitoi walkway. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk to Jacqueline in a few minutes about the water tower opening.
I'll leave that to her because that is exciting. And she's done so much work in that and it's looking beautiful. Are you coming?
Probably.
You'll be on your way home then.
I know.
You'll have to call in for a sausage and a bacon.
I bike or walk past like every day.
Yeah.
Twice a day. And I often have chats with Theo and get some photos,
you've been updating,
Facebook,
which has been fantastic. Thanks for those awesome comms.
So there'll be one more photo today and it'll be finished, I think. So,
it's an awesome project. So really looking forward to that tomorrow and I'll be on the barbecue.
Okay, cool. Is there anything to say about CCTV?
It's still in the same as we last time.
Which is Hamilton City's pulled out helping us, so we've got to figure something new out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looking at the New Year, Christmas, New Year.
Yeah.
We've got lots of things to look forward to. Beautiful weather, obviously. Lots of visitors. And so just a reminder for people to be nice to our manuhiri as they're heading into Raglan. And I did notice that it has been quite busy in town, which has been awesome.
Yeah.
And,
Are we ready? Are we ready for the influx?
Are we ever ready? Of course we are. We're ready as we can be. Yeah. You know, and if it's fine weather, we will have lots of visitors. And I've noticed that there are lots more international visitors back on our shores. I've been noticing that a bit more. So I have a feeling it's going to be another busy summer in Whaingaroa.
Was the community board happy with the Extreme's attempts to adapt to the massive amounts of rubbish that arrive at Papahua over the busy period?
Well, you know, Extreme are the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. It's not their fault that there's lots of rubbish and that there are overflowing rubbish bins, you know. We as people have to take responsibility for the crap that we actually, bring or buy. So we have to be really mindful of that. And my challenge to people are, leave only footprints when you come to the beach. Take your rubbish with you or take it up to the recycling centre. If the bin is overflowing, don't put your rubbish in it.
Yeah, and the background to that is last summer Extreme found that they couldn't empty the bins fast enough. They do a loop in an hour and get back to the first bin and it was overflowing again.
I know, and then they get the blame for not emptying the bins or the overflowing bins. They are, like I said, the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. Doing that service, under real pressure. So community, cut them some slack and take your rubbish up to the recovery centre.
And they are going to employ or deploy, an ambassador, a recycling ambassador, to go and talk to people at Papahua.
Awesome. It's no mean feat.
That's a.
And you know, with the recycling bins,
you've got to be the right
well.
Kind of person for that
you
job.
You do. And what we've found with the waste audit is that even the recycling bins are full of rubbish. you know, so people don't put proper their recycling into the recycle bins often.
Yeah.
You know, it's full of rubbish. Mm. So people have to take responsibility for their actions, whether it's what they put in the bin or whether it's what they buy or don't buy. So remember your reusables, use your drink bottles, use your reusable coffee cups. Don't ask for takeaway coffees in the takeaway coffee cups with plastic lids. It's not rocket science, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we know what to do. I want to ask about the people have seen the maps for a change to the alcohol ban area. Just want to say that's probably not going to apply this summer, is it?
No, because we haven't. That's only just closed at the beginning of this month.
Public submissions have closed.
Yeah, public submissions have closed on that, and then that will come to council. So,
Have you seen a report on it yet? Or, okay, so no info on that.
No, it's just no closed. Info on that just yet. So staff will be working on that. Yeah.
Okay. New year.
Yeah, and so looking forward to the New Year's Parade, which is on, which is awesome, the Lions New Year's Parade. So hopefully people are thinking about their floats they're going to be having.
Do we know about our new fireworks? Is anyone doing any fireworks?
Well, I saw Sarah Hari was looking for contributions from the community for the fireworks, so I'm not quite sure where she is at on that.
All right.
I think there are going to be fireworks, but there's definitely going to be the world famous Raglan Lions New Year's Eve parade. So is the radio station putting one in?
We're trying to get our act together because we like to bring some noise.
You like to bring some noise, and you guys, I know, are quite competitive with the design of your float.
Oh, that was the first year when Paul did this amazing thing, but it's going to be a little more basic. We're just going to rely on the noise to attract attention.
Yeah, so you're going to be spinning those tunes.
Something like a DJ. There might be people who look like that DJ, but it's a little more automated, I have to admit. Because it's everything's too bouncy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay, Lisa, so thanks for coming in. Thanks for coming in pretty much fortnightly all the way through the year. Appreciate that.
Oh, thanks for always being accommodating too, because there are times when I haven't been able to come in. I've had to change interviews last minute. So, yeah, and keep up the excellent work, Aaron. The one source of truth, Raglan Community Radio.
I don't want that as my title. That feels like a burden. Yeah. All right, Lisa, thank you for coming in.
Okay, thank you.